BlakeRadio.com.
This is a Wild Talk Radio special with this.
Issues are those of the voiceless. You think maybe I'm a product of the system. Maybe that I'm, even though I know kids are watching, maybe I'm a little too PG for you. Maybe I'm just the modern day Hulk Hogan. I just took the hand away from my ear, brother, and put it in front of my face. This is where I hit you with some truth. The Rock is a star. I will never win over the millions. Of course, you have your fans, and I know no matter what I do, I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through. I will never win over those people. You're trying to come back as some underground voice of the voiceless? You want phony punk? Look in the mirror, kid.
Some odd years ago, I won my first championship here in the WWE. I won the ECW title. The next day, you, who didn't bother saying two words to me before that, pat me on the back and you said, "Good match. Congratulations, champ. I almost gave up on you." I hold grudges. Ever since then, I've had a sour taste in my mouth because who the hell do you think you are? You gave up on me? Huh? You know who gave up, Mr. Hustle, loyalty, and respect? You know who gave up on their dream? You did. When you moved to California to become a bodybuilder and you became a sports entertainer because you couldn't hack it. I started as a professional wrestler and I fought to get to where I'm at right now. And yeah, I held up the WWE for some perks. Do I want an ice cream bar with my name on it? You're damn right. You're the lion. I'm the hyena. I gotta fight for my share. So yeah, I held everybody up to get the opportunities that you've just been handed. The opportunities that you've just been given. That yeah, you can take. I mean, who would turn them down? Certainly I wouldn't. 7 years ago in Los Angeles, you walked in and you won your first WWE title. Congratulations. This Sunday, you're walking back into Los Angeles, and I want to let you know something. You're walking out with nothing. You are walking out with nothing. Oh, sure, you'll be a big star the next day. You'll be in the Marine Corps, or maybe you'll have your big fight with Dwayne, which is great, and you'll still have your legions of fans who are going to pee in their pajamas every time they think about you. You know, you're not going to have, John Boy, you're not going to have the WWE Championship. You will not be WWE Champion, because the WWE Champion will be me.
When the bell rings, especially this Sunday, you know what you are? You're a loudmouth, one-hit wonder. Go produce on Sunday with everything on the line. For you, all of this, gone, just like that.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
It wouldn't be a show I produce if we didn't have a ridiculously long intro. Anyway, welcome everyone to, I guess, what we're calling the No Name Show, or whatever it's going to be. It's the WWE SummerSlam call-in special live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I am your host, Sorokin, and joining me, as we are plugged in, is the co-host of Russell Talk Radio, Otaku Talk Live, and online World of Wrestling Radio, and he used to, you know, bash the books, and I think he had used to, you know, target practice at one point. The Mace is here.
Greetings. Mind you, this isn't Mason Rock Presents Chopping Down a Tree.
No, that's Sunday.
Ah,
that's Sunday. That's Sunday when we
I'll drink to that!
Exactly. Also joining us this evening from Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, I think that's the name of the podcast, heard live on the history of WWE.com right now. It's streaming, so after this show's over, go there, is Jackie Fife.
Hey, Ross, what's up?
We are here tonight just to, you know, bullshit about SummerSlam. That's basically the agenda for this evening. So if you'd like to join us this evening, it's 267-297-1397, or you can Skype Sir Rockin. That's the way to get on the show. If you're in the chat room, it's wildtalkradio.com/chat.php. Give yourself a nickname. It's /Nick, your name. Just so everyone's clear in the chat room how to give yourself a name. So we'll start off with SummerSlam. Is it a big deal this year, guys?
There's, other than the one match, there's not a whole lot to be excited about, at least I don't think. As of Tuesday, when I read the SmackDown spoilers, there was some question as to how many matches there actually are.
I know going into Showtime tonight, there's 5.
5, okay.
Because they added Daniel Bryan and Wade Barrett, apparently. I guess they kind of did. That's what I've been reading on the interwebs.
Well, I mean, that one at minimum will be good. Those two can go. I'm not a real big fan either of them, but they'll do well. They'll put up a good fight. It'll at least give us something to watch while we're waiting for the John Cena CM Punk match, because you know that's the one everyone's waiting for.
Right. What do you think, Mace? Did they, on Monday night, did they give away every single match they could have put on the undercard?
Quite possibly, but then again, you take a look at this time last year. I'm actually looking at the SummerSlam 2010 results, thanks to the good people at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. And besides the simple fact that you have John Cena in a main event, again, it's quite interesting, because at this time last year, we had Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston for the IC title. Melina versus Alicia Fox, well, won't get that ever again. Big Show against CM Punk, Luke Gallows, and Joey Mercury. Randy Orton versus Sheamus, Kane versus Rey Mysterio, and then a 14-man match, which featured the return of Daniel Bryan after his incident with a tie.
Yeah, the incident with the tie, which you can probably now buy on eBay.
Probably.
With your $500 CM Punk t-shirts.
Those poor fools.
I mean, seriously, $500 for a t-shirt? Really?
It's because CM Punk wasn't with the company for a week. Oh my god!
I wouldn't buy CM Punk for $500. Let alone a t-shirt for $500.
If it was a Kane t-shirt, would you spend that much money?
Had he worn it?
Yeah, if he wore the t-shirt.
To be honest, no, I wouldn't, because to be frank, I don't have $500, so...
But if, say, you did have $500.
You know what? I'd like to sit here and sound cool and sophisticated and say no, but if I had $500 to blow on a t-shirt, probably, yeah, let's just be honest about it, probably.
It's okay. Everyone has their moments, you know. Everyone goes out and buys the pointless crap. Mace has done it. I've done it. Everyone on the network has done it, you know. Everyone buys pointless crap once in a while.
Speaking of pointless crap, did you guys hear about the commentary radio?
Yeah, I heard about that. WWE radio. Because, you know, going to a live event, you have to hear what Michael Cole has to say.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing I love more than listening to Michael Cole talk.
I mean...
But the question is the WWE radio, is it a vintage-style radio?
That's a good question. But yeah, it's $15 to listen to the commentary.
Or they could, like, plug the audio into the house speakers, and it takes all of 2 seconds and probably costs $5 for the plug.
That would make more sense, but, you know, apparently UFC has done it in the past for some of their shows, and not many people have bought it, so WWE is thinking, if the UFC can't do it, why can't we?
Way to be innovative.
Yeah, we're very innovative, because, I mean, it's WWE radio. I mean, that's what I
don't know. I mean, is it? I don't know. Like, I keep thinking, if you're sitting either in the very front where there's no one in front of you, or if you're sitting in the way back where you can't see, I don't know. Maybe it would be useful. I don't know.
But if you're sitting all the way in the back, do you really have that extra $15?
Very good point. Very good point.
If you're sitting up in the cheap seats, I don't think you have $15.
I have four for the tickets for an event coming up next month. It's not televised, so they won't be offering those, but I don't know. I guess I would think about it. Depends on how much money I have to blow.
If you have money to blow, it's one thing, but come on. It's hearing Booker T, probably Michael Cole, Jerry Law. Well, that's the question. Who will be announcing SummerSlam on Sunday?
Jim Ross, Michael Cole, Booker T?
So that basically takes, Jerry Lawler out of the picture?
Pretty much. Well, they could have two separate teams, and you have the Raw guys commentating the Raw matches and SmackDown guys doing the SmackDown matches.
And Michael Cole doing the whole thing.
Oh, God, 3 hours of Michael Cole. No.
Because remember, he's both Raw and SmackDown.
If it was Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, we would not even be having this conversation.
This is very true.
I would pay $30 for it.
Yeah, they're entertaining. Michael Cole and Booker T. God help us if that's it. They left us Michael Cole and Booker T for 3 hours. Bring back Mike Adamley at that point. Because, think about it, though Booker T is terrible at announcing. Let's face it, he stinks.
Maybe they should make it better and put Vicky Guerrero on commentary.
Oh, God.
I'd rather listen to, what's Hugo and what's his face on the Spanish announce team?
Hugo, Savanovich, and...
Oh.
Exactly. Everybody remembers Hugo, nobody remembers the other guy.
I can't even remember. I honestly should know this.
And come on, people in the chat room, help us out. It's Hugo and who? Come on.
This is where I'm going to Google WWE Spanish announce team as we're...
I know Tito does it sometimes, but he's not there all the time.
No, yeah.
Arriba!
Carlos Cabrera.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I don't know if you hear it, but I couldn't tell you, you know.
I mean, they get pulled out onto a ringside every few months. They get to sit there, and everyone thinks, oh my God, the table's going to get used. And then if you're Randy Orton, you actually can't put them through the table. You try, but you just can't do it.
See, now, that's the only reason to buy a WWE DVD, is so you can get the Spanish commentary. So when the guy goes through the Spanish announce table, you hear them freaking the fuck out.
Never done that. I've never bought the DVD to hear the Spanish commentary.
Yeah, I got it with a lot of the WrestleMania DVDs I've got.
That's something, you know. Someone on YouTube put out the Spanish version of the commentary. Let me hear it. That would be music. Some of the biggest moments of wrestling history when they go through the Spanish announce table. What do they actually say?
Holy shit!
And what's holy shit in Spanish?
Holy shit! they just break it. Fuck, fuck speaking Spanish. Holy shit, we're fucked!
Damn. Alright, the only Spanish announced team I like is TNA's. What's that, Hector Guerrero and... couldn't tell you the other guy, the other guy's name. I only know Hector Guerrero because he did a run-in on Thursday.
See, and again, you only remember half of a Spanish announced team. If we put Hugo and Hector together, we'd actually remember a Spanish announced team.
That's a good point. But why are we're discussing Spanish announced teams?
We are, because they're going to be at SummerSlam. Ha! Huh. See? I brought it back around.
No, yeah, well, you hope they're at SummerSlam. We're giving them all this this pub and stuff. You hope they bring out the Spanish announced table.
Well, somebody has to make Non-Mystico sound entertaining.
Let's get into that, because we were having that topic in the chat room. Sin Cara 1 or Sin Cara 2? Which one is better?
I think they're both as bad as each other. I'm still watching SmackDown recorded yesterday, because it plays Fridays down here in Australia. Surprise, surprise. And this new guy, whoever they've got, is a lot worse than Mystico has been, which I didn't think was possible.
I mean, you could tell a real big difference between the two just by look, by glance.
Well, they didn't look the same. Did they think we weren't going to know? Like the internet fans do not know this kind of a thing anyway.
That's
and the tape is taped.
Yeah, that's the thing. The announcers were saying, oh, he put on weight while he was gone. And then you hear Booker T going, oh, it's all muscle. I mean...
I don't even think Booker T even watches what's going on in the ring. I think he's got, like, some sort of magazine in front of him and he's reading it.
But he has his Fave Fives. Because, you know, they don't have a sponsorship deal with T-Mobile, but he has Fave Fives. Don't ask, man. What's the fuck with the name D. Bryan? What the fuck's that?
Oh, yeah.
D. Bryan, yeah. That's such a great name. Jersey Girl says, Sin Cara is Curry Man. If that was the case, he would actually be good.
And entertaining, and I'd be like, yeah!
So let's get interactive with the chat room. Iceman says they ground them both of them. If you were to watch them both out of them outside the WWE, they are a lot better. Well, we're not watching them outside of WWE. We're watching them in the WWE because that's what matters at this point. Because that's what they're showing us, them in the WWE.
Basically.
I mean, what they've done elsewhere is what they've done elsewhere. It's here that's the point. They have to get over with us, the WWE fans. And I don't think it is. The only reason they're going to keep that gimmick around, even if Mystico walks, is because they're going to Mexico, what, in October?
Yeah.
And, you know...
Maybe this is like a fake chain, fake Undertaker kind of a thing. You remember that? Maybe it's like going to be a fake Sin Cara. And
SummerSlam 94.
Talk about
this
feuding and right.
There's your SummerSlam history.
Yeah, who knows?
Hey, it can't be any worse than a fake Razor and fake Diesel.
No, it could be, who's under the suicide mask this week?
Because that works so well. Apparently, the last time we found out, thanks to Tim and his sources, Facebook, that Teddy Hart was suicide.
Well, good to see you. Still has a career.
But going back to WWE going to Mexico, that brings up, this will tie back into SummerSlam, the whole Alberto Del Rio situation. And everyone is talking about how when it's time to go to Mexico, they want Alberto Del Rio to be champion. Good idea? Bad idea? What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, it certainly doesn't help to push your hometown boys when you're going somewhere, but I mean, they didn't. It would make sense if they did it. It wouldn't surprise me, but they didn't put anything on Justin Gabriel when he went to South Africa. So.
What do you think, Mace? Good idea? Bad idea?
I don't know, because it'd be a very awkward idea, if anything, because that means dethroning either CM Punk or John Cena. And both guys, as much as I hate to say it about Cena, are pretty hot property now at the moment. They're the guys that are selling your big tickets, but then again, down in Mexico, your guys like Mystico and Alberto Del Rio and Rey Mysterio are your big ticket sellers down there. So I don't know whether they do it as a temporary solution, or maybe they do a just for the tour. You know, he wins it during the tour, and it goes back on whoever the champion was on the last night of the tour. Because they've done that before.
Yeah, but they have not done that with the WWE Championship. That's usually with the lower belts.
Well, it'd be something different.
It would be something different, and they're supposed to do I guess they're doing it Raw live from Mexico, or live to tape, whatever it's going to be, something like that. In October, I think that's the case. I don't know exactly if it's live or not, but Del Rio, he's been told he would be WWE champion at least 3 times so far this year, and they keep changing their mind. Is that a good thing that they keep changing their mind on him?
Well, where would he fit into the John Cena CM Punk thing if they put the belt on him just because they're going to Mexico? How would they work that in?
That's
what it's been about. It's not so much been about Punk versus Cena. It's been about, you know, these two guys who have legitimate claims to this one title.
Right, and what would make the most sense is him. See, the logic from, you know, people in the IWC is, and the people in the know, is Punk beat Del Rio clean on Raw, so you don't think he can beat him, you know, at SummerSlam when he cashes it in, blindside or sneak attack or whatever. That's the only way to get the title on Del Rio, but I don't want to see Del Rio as champion. There's something about him that just screams he's not ready for it.
And it's also worth mentioning that if they want to put a title on Del Rio, the tape, so, you know, he looks pretty when they go through Mexico, it doesn't necessarily have to be the WWE title. I doubt he would go for anything else, but sometimes we don't get what we want, unfortunately.
I can't see them putting the U.S. title on Del Rio and have him go to Mexico as the U.S. champion.
Del Rio, Mexico, yeah. Maybe he can cash in Backlighter's internet title.
that would be different, but yeah, I don't ever see the internet championship making it to WWE TV, even though Spug believes
maybe
that eventually they will.
Maybe he can cash in on the Divas title. I mean, I don't know. I don't see how it works on with the WWE Championship right now. I mean, that feud is the hottest thing going in professional wrestling right now. And I don't see where he fits in just to wedge a title belt onto him to send him through Mexico. I mean, Sin Cara is just as much from there as Alberto Del Rio is, but for some reason we're only having to talk about Alberto Del Rio and not so much about Sin Cara either. And maybe he did it to himself with, you know, this whole thing with the wellness program, but I've always just wondered about that. I mean, why not throw a belt on Mystico? What's wrong with him? Why only Del Rio?
If they did the storyline right and, you know, stretched things out, guess who could have gone to Mexico as the WWE champion? Some guy named Rey Mysterio?
Right, there you go.
You know, you stretched out the CM Punk storyline just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they kind of rushed that one just a tad.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. They rushed that way too quickly anyway.
Yeah. because your main event of SummerSlam could have been Rey Mysterio and John Cena. Because, you know, God, that wouldn't have, you know, sold tickets in California. Because they're doing it on Monday if Rey's healthy, that, you know, he gets his title shot in his hometown. But, let's stay where we're at with the Punk and Cena. You know, it's the match everyone's talking about. Who's going to win it?
Jimmy, the guy in the third row.
Jimmy, the guy in the third row. What do you think, Jack? Who's going to win it?
You know, to be honest, I mean, I hope Punk wins it, just because I just don't want to see John Cena with the title again. It's nothing personal with John Cena. I just think that he's taken a lot of flack. A lot of people are giving him a hard time because, you know, he is the face of the PC company, and a lot of people, judging, you know, by how many people are throwing themselves behind CM Punk, a lot of people are kind of sick and tired of John Cena. And to a certain extent, to see John kind of slide back into the mid-card area, I mean, even disappear off TV for a while, I don't think necessarily would be a bad thing. I just remember being entirely, I mean, disappointed is not even a word, when he beat Rey Mysterio the same night that he won that belt. I was just like, I just don't get it. I mean, I know why they're doing it, I just don't agree with it, and I think it's stupid. So personally, I hope Punk wins, because I want to see something different on WWE TV besides John Cena and the main event of every Monday Night Raw. I mean, that's a reason to watch SmackDown. John Cena will not be there, and he will not be in the main event.
See, I'm with you on the whole point of they should never put it on John Cena that quickly. But I could see why they did it, but it was a really convoluted way just to put the belt back on him. In a way, but CM Punk wins the title. Okay, we'll go with that scenario. Do you do another John Cena CM Punk at Night of Champions?
I hope not. I mean, look at the Christian and Randy Orton thing. Christian and Randy Orton have been the main event for what, last? I mean, seriously, with this one and then what, like two before? The same match for one of the main events, or the main event for like three pay-per-views in a row? It's showing a complete and total lack of creativity on the part of the WWE creative team. It's like they have nothing to do except put the same matches on. On Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, we were talking about who we thought was going to win the Randy Orton and Christian match. I was like, you know what, I've seen this match three times before. I have no clue where they're going with this. I don't really have a prediction. And if they do it again with Punk and Cena, I'm going to feel the same way. You know, it's the same match every pay-per-view, and it's the same match every Raw, and it's awful. So, hope not, no. If Punk wins, or if Cena wins, whoever wins, I would personally prefer to see them wrestling someone else at Night of Champions.
And who would that be? In your booking WWE, your main event is CM Punk versus who at Night of Champions?
Has Rey, has Rey gotten his rematch yet?
Rey is getting his rematch on Monday.
Okay. Well, if I would have booked it, I don't know. Maybe I would have put that on Night of Champions. The thing about it is that the WWE, for whatever reason right now, doesn't have a whole lot out there. There's not a whole lot of people out there that are at main event status right now. And as much as I say that right after saying I'm sick of seeing the same people. But Rey Mysterio, I guess I would have booked Rey Mysterio for his rematch against CM Punk at Night of Champions and done something else on Raw.
But do you figure that this could be the way to lead into Alberto Del Rio getting the title? Because you have Punk win it, Rey Mysterio gets the rematch the next night on Raw, then you have your build-up of Alberto Del Rio trying to cash in the belt and constantly failing. But then he turns around and goes, you know what, I'll cash this in at whatever what's the next pay-per-view again, Rock? Jackie?
Well, you know, if you think about it, considering the way things have been going, as I was just saying, with the same matches main eventing at every single pay-per-view, to have to have Mysterio get his rematch on Raw, and then to have him somehow have another title shot at Night of Champions would not be unbelievable. Somehow, I mean, Christian's done it like the last three or four million pay-per-views in a row. So, I mean, you could, theoretically, you still could have Rey Mysterio get his rematch on Raw. Maybe somehow goes wrong. Maybe Del Rio interferes, maybe purposefully, or, you know, something. And then for some reason, this match ends up at the main event at Night of Champions. And then Del Rio could cash in on whoever wins that one and take it in the next show.
Yeah, it could happen. To be,
honest, anyone but John Cena and Randy Orton and Christian in the main event.
Would you be happy with CM Punk sitting in the ring for the main event and cutting a promo?
No. He's a very good talker. I'll give him that. He's one of the best talkers that's been around in a while. But I personally would rather prefer to see him in action. I was kind of bothered. Well, I don't know if I call bothered, but I noticed that on his new Titantron with the Cult of Personality on it, there's no footage of him wrestling at all. The WWE's YouTube channel, I think it's WWE Fan Nation. His Cult of Personality Titantron is always off of my commercials for Triple Talk Wrestling Radio for some reason. And it's nothing, there's nothing of him performing. It's all him staring into the camera and talking, and there's been a lot of effort put on his ability to cut a promo, and that's great. But it's like, almost like, okay, yeah, this is, for now, there's still some wrestling in the WWE, so get your ass in there and do something. And he doesn't even talk anymore. We all know he can talk. Granted, we all know he can wrestle too. But.
True, but at the same time, they're trying to accentuate the fact that his talking is what's getting him over right now. As good as a wrestler as CM Punk is and always has been, it's his talking, his ability to sit there and connect with the crowd that's getting him over, so why not highlight that in his video?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I just don't want it to... I mean, he's also one of the people that's either not... one of the people that's not injured or is, you know, failing his steroid test or something. I mean, I think that John Cena is working injured. Some of the bigger names have been pulled off TV, shows been pulled off TV, Kings been pulled off TV, Taker's been pulled off TV. He's one of the few people that's actually young and in good condition that's actually at main event status. I mean, for example, Wade Barrett's also, I've not heard anything of him being injured, but, you know, he's not main event status. I guess Rey Mysterio had another MRI this week. You know, there's just everyone that was injured or failing their steroid test or something. And so it's good. It's actually very, to actually see it good, the match with John Cena versus CM Punk at the last pay-per-view, it was really good. I was actually, you know, very surprised, and so I guess I'm just so happy to see someone who could actually go and who's not working injured. It's nice to see. So while he is a good talker, and we definitely need to make use of that, because not many people can go like you can, as long as he's not cutting a promo for the entire length of SummerSlam.
A couple of notes on the whole CM Punk Titantron thing. I think that's done because they tried to edit out his, you know, appearance in the Nexus, and all of his current look was in the Nexus, and they don't want to, you know, show that. Could be why it's all headshots.
Right.
And back to the Christian Orton thing, I think, God, I don't know why, but I've heard the rumors they want to do it again at Night of Champions as well.
Am I the only one who knew that CM Punk Nexus thing was not going to work from, like, the moment it started?
It seemed very odd in the beginning, but you sort of got used to it. Just like anything in the WWE, you just get used to it.
Jersey Girls says in the chat room, looks like Chris Masters has a ticket to SummerSlam. Will he be turned away just like Melina was? Melina didn't have a ticket, so he'll probably get in.
Right. And there were probably not promos being cut the night of the show that were making fun of her.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah. As for Chris Masters, guess what? We can ask him. This, I believe this Tuesday night, Chris Masters is coming to OWW Radio, I believe.
Yes, Alan will tell me about that. That's going to be awesome.
And there's a bunch of other names we can... I think Jerry Lynn's this Tuesday, and I'm missing someone. Jerry Lynn, Maria, and Chris Masters will be live on OWW Radio, and there could be other people. So just stay tuned to facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork and the one for OWW Radio, and we'll keep you updated on that. But let's get into the Christian Orton thing. We've all said it's overdone. Big time. Who do you want as the champion, though? That's the thing. Do you keep the belt on Christian and move him on to somebody else?
Yeah, I think it's time to both of them move on. I mean, seriously, this is the third, again, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the third pay-per-view in a row.
Third?
That we can face each other at the main event.
Third? I think this is the fifth. I'm gonna go count now. As we're talking about this, I believe it's the fifth.
And Christian is great. Randy Orton is great. You know, they're both great. It's not that I'm cutting down either of them. I'm saying it's their John Cena in the main event every night. You know, every Sunday, every pay per view, whatever it is, it's them. They're collectively becoming John Cena. And it's,
They were on Money in the Bank. They were on Capital Punishment. They're on SummerSlam. And they did Over the Limit. So this is number four. They also had the match on SmackDown, which would make it five. So this is the fifth time they're fighting for the World Heavyweight Championship. Joining us now is Jackie's co-host for Triple Talk Wrestling Radio on the history of WWE.com. Teddy is here with us. Is with us. Hello, Teddy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
So we'll get your take. Let's get your take on the whole Christian Randy Orton situation. What do you think? Is it overdone? Should they move on?
Oh, no. It's definitely time to move on, I think. But the WWE is in a precarious situation because who have they built in the event Christian keeps the title to be a number one contender, and who have they built for Randy to go challenge, you know, because I think they've been so focused on each other, there's been very little third-party involvement with anyone else in the SmackDown brand, that I think it's going to have to be one of these. Something has to go down in SummerSlam to kind of tell another story where perhaps they break off and then they pick up, you know, on Friday Night SmackDown and kind of go that route. I just don't know how they're going to make anything work without a typical TNA-esque run-in that really doesn't make much sense, but okay.
The way they could do it is, you know, the Sheamus-Mark Henry match, that could be a number one contenders match.
True.
There you go.
But they just gave us Christian. But they just gave us Christian and Sheamus on SmackDown, and I don't think Randy Orton and Mark Henry. I don't think Randy Orton likes working with Mark Henry, from what I hear. But then again, not many people do.
Well, you know, and you bring that to an interesting point up. I mean, I could honestly see Christian carry over this cat chasing the mouse and Christian being the mouse with Sheamus. You know, on the SmackDown today, that the match itself was very lackluster, and it, you know, Christian continues to play this, you know, kind of cowardly champion, which is, you know, it's frustrating for a casual fan. So we could see potentially it moving that direction where Sheamus now becomes the number one contender and Christian continues these dodging tactics. But then you're right. I mean, do we slide Mark Henry versus Randy Orton? And as you mentioned, you know, Randy Orton is kind of selective on who he works with. Or at least gives his all when he works with somebody. So it's going to be an interesting scenario. You know, I mean, does Daniel Bryan start sticking his nose into Randy Orton's business? Maybe I don't know. You know, it would be nice to see a fresh face kind of appear in the SmackDown scene that's already in the roster, and kind of just elevate it. You know, I'm looking at an A-Rai or an Alex Riley in Raw, and how they've kind of given him a really nice push to kind of put his face out there. You know, I think if they could discover someone within the SmackDown brand and do something similar, maybe on a heel side of things, You know, maybe it makes a little more sense that way. Maybe somebody comes out of nowhere and challenges Randy, and they use Randy's rub to kind of get that person elevated the same way they use The Miz to elevate Alex Riley. It can go any way, in my opinion.
But who would that be?
I know this is going to be out of left field, and you're going to call me crazy, and I think everyone will that's listening to this, but I kind of like this Curtis kid. You know, we haven't seen much of him. We've seen some vignettes, but I mean, he got squashed by Henry. I don't know how you work him in there, but I don't know. He's caught my eye, I guess you can say.
Johnny?
Again, I know I kind of sound like a broken record, but anything that's different. I mean, I hate to repeat myself over and over and over again, but in order, you know, we do have to have some introductions to move other people up. And, you know, Curtis is someone who certainly know he's been teased. And I'm not talking about, you know, pushing him up to world, you know, to number one contender for the status of the world heavyweight title. But again, we are at a point where, you know, Triple H is not wrestling anymore. Undertaker, God knows where he is and what he's doing right now. Can show or off the, or, you know, off doing whatever the hell they're doing. You know, but we need something. We need something to come up right now. And of all the new talent that's been pushed, very few have been able to really rise up. Look how many members of the original Nexus we lost. I mean, two or three of them to injury. I mean, we really do need to push some people up. So yeah, John Curtis, that's great. I mean, and honestly, I mean, that's great. We need to. I don't know why the WWE is so scared to push people. But, you know, Randy Orton and Christian and John Cena and CM Punk, less so CM Punk, but those three cannot carry the company forever.
Mace, Johnny Curtis?
Johnny who?
But did anyone catch Sheamus on Conan O'Brien?
No, I wasn't able to check that out, actually.
Oh, he's a star now. Sheamus is now a star, a babyface star. He can go on any talk show and get over. After that appearance, he was fantastic. He was fantastic.
Right.
On that, he was fantastic. Just interacting with Conan was really good.
One or two redheads are going to get along well. I have to ask. I know it's going to sound like a corny question, but I have to ask. Did Sheamus call Conan fella like 50 times during that interview?
Yeah, he did use the word fella a bunch of times. Which
is awesome.
Is there
like a feminine version of fella? Like, you use fella to address a man.
Right.
Is there an equivalent to address a woman?
Mace, Teddy, any ideas?
Lass. Lass, hey, lass.
Lass, oh yeah, that's right. Okay. I'm really happy to see Sheamus get a push, especially a babyface push. And I'm really happy. If it had to happen anyway, it's good that it happened with Mark Henry, because personally, I'm liking face Sheamus more than I'm liking heel Henry. So, I'm predicting Sheamus for this one. And I would kind of like to see this heel shame, I mean, sorry, this face shame thing continue. I really like where it's going.
And one of the things that I noticed, I think it was on the Superstar show, which I got caught watching that for a while, and I think it was Superstars. The first time Sheamus came out to confront Mark Henry, and he had the chair, and he was swinging it, and Henry, you know, didn't go into the ring. One of the things that really kind of, you know, I kind of marked out a little bit is, there was this moment where they zoom in on Mark Henry's face, and he does this thing like with his lip, like, man, I'm not even gonna wrestle. I'm not even gonna go in there. He sold it right there. Like, I was like, how is he gonna retreat if he's this big bad, you know, animal? And he had this face like, nah, I ain't gonna go in there. I thought that was a really cool mannerism he had there, and they zoomed in on it. I thought it worked perfectly. I thought, oh man, what a jerk.
Mace, what is your take on this, the whole Sheamus Mark Henry battle this Sunday at SummerSlam?
It could be interesting. Guys both have interesting styles, and well, I just want to see how Mark Henry botches this one. By the way, that Johnny What's His Face guy is currently on my TV.
And he's gonna get his ass kicked in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Mark Henry's eating him like a bucket of KFC.
Well, doesn't Mark Henry get one of these pushes like every few years?
Yes.
Like, every few years, it's the same thing. He goes right back to being what he's doing before. And I was telling Teddy and Alan, he needs to do something different with his appearance too. And I would start with shaving his head. He's got that like receding hairline. You know, other than Michael Ironside, no one else looks tough with a receding hairline. So he needs to change something, because every time he has a push, it never works out. He always ends up lower mid card again. And I predict that this push is going to go the same way. Either with this push or the next push that he gets in 3 to 5 years from now, something about him is going to have to change, because everything about him has not been above mid card since like ECW.
Most of the times that he's dropped out of the push is either because he's been injured or he's injured somebody else.
Yeah. Can we go back to the Stars and Stripes outfit he wore back in 1996? That's a different look.
Oh,
for
my
you.
God.
Come on. Mr. Olympic.
You had to bring that up.
Yeah, I had to. It's a different look. Mark Henry, Stars and Stripes, you know, the big jacket, and it's all Olympic. Him and Jerry Lawler. Classic matchup right there.
I don't remember I
think with Mark Henry, he's in a tough position because his size basically kind of writes his character. You know, it's either he's a big lovable guy or he's a big feared guy. And I don't know how much kind of, you know, wiggle room you have from a character development on that point, you know. So the fact that he's stuck around as long as he has is kind of a testament to, you know, perhaps him, you know, kind of when he's hot, and when he's cold, he's really cold. So I see where you're coming from on you know, his kind of a more diverse type character, but I just kind of, his size, I think, in that aspect hurts him, because he can't really, you know, be the submission artist or, you know, anything like that because of his size and his skill, obviously, so.
Right, yeah, and I don't remember Mark Henry doing anything like grandly over the top since he beat Kane for the ECW title at NAB Champions a few years ago. He just, something, and I don't mean to keep on dragging Mark Henry down. What I'm saying is, when you never change anything, when you're always the same, you can only go so far. I mean, just about anyone in any branch of media will say, you constantly have to be reinventing yourself. Something about you has to be different. And Mark Henry has not changed. Sometimes he'll be a bad guy, but he's still the same.
No, I agree 100%. But I think one of the things that we're seeing here is that maybe they're putting him, flip-flopping him the way they have, because now, think about it, Sheamus is getting over as a face tremendously well. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, Henry and people, you know, him obviously taking out Kane and Big Show, as a story will tell it, and then Sheamus coming in. So I think, you know, granted, I think for his sake, yeah, he needs to be diverse, but I think for the brand's sake, it's probably what they needed to get Sheamus into that baby face kind of, you know, kind of character.
Yeah, I really like where the Sheamus thing is going, which is surprising. I never thought Sheamus would work as a baby face. I never thought he would be like a Hulk Hogan type baby face. I always figured he'd be a Stone Cold type baby face. But I still didn't think it would happen. I'm pleased with how well it's gone.
Now going back to the Mark Henry thing, at least he's not, you know. It's
sexual, baby. There we go.
I don't want to give it all.
We're not back to this.
Yeah, right on.
Everyone remembers those days, you know.
Let me ask you, Sir Rocket, do you remember that Rikishi song he had on that WWE, when they had, you know, they had their original songs that came out, not their theme music, but they actually did like actual songs?
Yeah, I remember that.
He had that song, Put a Little Ass on It.
Oh God.
Oh God.
That was more painful than the Mae Young thing.
Oh,
I remember that.
See, I actually wanted them to revive that character of Mark Henry's when they had a Viscera in his Hugh Hefner robe and all that. Turn him into a tag team.
That would have been perfect. You know, that would have been, you know, maybe that would have killed ECW even faster, and that would have helped Vince out.
And for you, Teddy.
There it is, right there.
There you go. I have all this shit on my computer. Why, I don't know, but I do.
This world is crazy. Holding on tight, trying hard just to keep.
Oh, good Lord.
So,
someone kill me now.
Let me tell you guys. So, yeah, I have that song on my MPG player. So, when I'm driving around and if I'm going out or you know, someone's in the car with me and I'm driving, I'm like, hey, so tell me what you think about this song, right? So the first kind of part of it, it sounds like an actual like R&B song, right? And then if you let it keep going, it gets even more ridiculous. So I just kind of play the first 15 seconds, right?
Right.
And I'm like, so what do you guys think about that? I mean, I'm like, hey, so what do you think about that song? And you know, 9 times out of 10, they're like, hey, it sounds all right. I mean, what is it? It's like an older R&B song, right? And I'm like, yeah, so check it out. Keep listening to it. And then once he starts talking about putting a little ass on it, the people are like, what the hell is this?
It would be a lot more appealing to most of the WWE audience if you had, like, Jennifer Lopez singing that song. Coming from Mark Henry, it just doesn't work.
Moving on to the other announced matchup on the card. It's the Divas Championship, Kelly Kelly versus Beth Phoenix. Everyone ready for Beth Phoenix to be champion?
Yes.
Yes.
Mace?
It would be her first time winning the Divas title, which is amazing. But she's long overdue for it, I think.
Mace, what do you
Come
think?
On. You mean you don't want the stick figure blonde with the big tits to win? What's wrong with you people? Aren't you wrestling fans?
Oh, I'm kidding. Beth Phoenix.
Kill the bitch. Kill Kelly Kelly. Get
Please.
Rid of the fucking thing.
But what happens if Kelly Kelly retains?
We riot.
Boy.
On one hand, and I know this is going to shock everyone coming from me, I would not be too upset if Kelly Kelly won. I would like to see the Diva title on Beth Phoenix just because I think she deserves it. But I also think, as much as I just loathe the sight of Kelly Kelly, that it may make for an interesting feud if she were to win. If Kelly Kelly were to win. I mean, we all know what would happen in reality, right? I mean, Beth Phoenix would just blow on Kelly Kelly and she would just fly away. I mean, there's no doubt who should win this match. But it may make for an interesting feud between you know, Natty and Beth Phoenix, the two that are calling themselves the Sisters of Destruction, how unique. And
they've changed it. It's Divas of Doom or some shit like that, I think it is now.
Yeah, the Divas of Destruction,
Divas of
I saw that too.
No, Divas of Doom as it came out.
Yeah,
that's
great.
It's just
Divas
one of those things
Doom.
Where it shows their creative is not giving them any consideration at all. I mean, that's...
Divas of Doom, are they gonna bring out the old Doom masks? I mean, what are they trying to say about Beth Phoenix and Natty?
it would be an interesting feud.
There's more possibilities with Kelly Kelly as champion right now. As hard as it is to believe, she should retain the title. For now. Next month, she'll probably lose it to Beth Phoenix, but for SummerSlam, I think Kelly Kelly retains.
It's worth having her retain just to have a good, solid storyline in the Divas division. The Divas division for so many months now has been the pee break. It allows you to get up and go to the bathroom and get another drink without having to miss the commercials. I mean, it's almost like people will tip the commercials, they'll get up and leave for, you know, the Divas matches. I really don't like Kelly Kelly. I really don't. But I can put my own feelings aside to say the Divas division needs this. It needs a good solid storyline to draw attention, to get some momentum going before, you know, karma returns. And maybe we can maybe if the WWE makes an offer good enough, maybe we can bring Gail Kim back. Gail Kim can wrestle. She's good. You know, she's really good. actually do something with the Divas Division, even if it means soiling the belt for another month.
Technically,
they don't even really have to offer Gail Kim anything, considering that the word on the grapevine is that she hasn't, her resignation has been denied.
Yeah, I heard that. She's still on contract.
She's still on contract for the time being, which means they might, if Beth Phoenix gets the belt and they decide to go into the Divas can actually wrestle idea, they might finally have something for her.
Teddy had mentioned on the podcast the possibility of this whole thing with Gail Kim being a work. Maybe she's kind of taking the CM Punk thing.
And here's where I come with that stance is, Twitter being so new, and I think she's used a lot of her grievances via Twitter, and Twitter being so new, especially to be incorporated in wrestling, like in storylines and so forth, I'm still kind of on the jury on, you know, wouldn't WWE be smart to say, hey, let's use this kind of uncharted territory where people don't know if it's really you tweeting or it's your character tweeting, and let's see if we can fuck with the fans a little bit. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm kind of like, I'm 50-50. I'm like, well, maybe she is using this, or maybe this is WWE's plan to start using Twitter to kind of build some sort of modern day kayfabe, you know, a little bit. So I mean, stranger things have happened, and maybe I'm giving the WWE too much credit, but wishful thinking.
I think you're giving them a little too much credit on that one, because, you know, that would be logical thinking, but if they wanted to do a social media storyline, they could have done it with CM Punk. The CM Punk storyline, you know, was built for social media, and they blew right through that.
More title belts and fridges.
Very true. So in comparison to last year's card, as Mace ran down earlier in this program, whatever we're calling it, I don't even have a name for it, we're just talking. But you look at last year's SummerSlam card, and you look at all the matches that were on the show, and you go, okay, you had the Team WWE versus the Nexus, you had Kane versus Rey Mysterio, Orton versus Sheamus, Big Show versus the Straight Edge Society, Melina versus Alicia Fox, the greatest match in the history of women's wrestling, by the way. Melina versus Alicia Fox. Greatest match ever.
Ever, yeah.
Ever. And Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston, you know. You look at this year's card and last year's card, which stacks up better?
For what it's worth, guys, I'm buying this SummerSlam. I didn't even want to buy the last SummerSlam. So, I mean, but it's all about Punk and Cena that has really, it's kind of like, it's so lopsided that this main event is so much more interesting than the Nexus angle, in my opinion, from last year. But if you were to look at both cards, I think overall, kind of top to bottom, last year's card was probably better stacked, but this year's main event is so heavy. I was talking on the show, you know, this past week, and I said, this is the third WWE pay-per-view I've purchased, and I don't know how many years in a row, and a lot of things are just coming together for me, and I'm actually kind of, I talked about this where I just find myself being more of a fan and just saying, you know what, let's just see what they do, let's just see what happens. And I haven't been disappointed in the last, you know, the last three pay-per-views, two pay-per-views, and this being the third, so I'm willing to put my money continue to put my money on black, you know, let the roulette table go and see, you know, at what point, you know, I'm going to lose everything. So I go with this year's probably just from a more interest perspective than last year's card.
How about you, Mace?
Well, there's been better build-up for this year's one, definitely, but I sort of enjoyed last year's whole thing of John Cena against the original Nexus. And there was great build up there. Again, it was getting to a point where they were trying to break the fourth wall. So like Punk's been doing, like they had all the guys come off NXT. Okay, we're meant to be the young guys, but you know what? We're going to come and straight and make an impact. Screw your way of doing things. We're going to do things our way. Then they're trying to drag John Cena into the mix. And it just got people glued to the TV. And that's exactly what they're doing this year. But I think the end result like the standard one-on-one that we've got this year versus the 7-on-7 with the surprise return, I personally liked last year's. Well, but then again, I could change.
Could be changed. Could change at 11 p.m. Sunday night on Wrestle Talk Radio. See, that's how you wedge the plug in. The one person we have not mentioned is The Miz. He claims he's going to steal the show at SummerSlam. What do you do with The Miz?
It is a bit of a, I don't want to call it a slap in the face, but it is kind of interesting to note that The Miz is not on the card for SummerSlam. But is Alex Riley facing Dolph Ziggler on this card?
That's
not
announced.
Isn't it kind of funny that A-Rod's been getting this push and The Miz is not?
I think The Miz doesn't have a match because they don't know about Ray. I think that's why. I think Ray's injury that just happened is leaving The Miz up in the air, and he has nowhere to go. And that's the question. What do you do with The Miz at SummerSlam?
Well, to the WWE's credit, I mean, they could have just thrown him on SummerSlam with another match against A-Rai. I mean, maybe it's better, or maybe it's better than that they didn't. I mean, I don't think it's one of those things where, you know, The Miz is not, he's not on the card. That means he must be sliding. I don't think that's the case at all. I don't think, other than, it just seems as though that there's very little attention being given to anything besides CM Punk and John Cena. I don't know. Until someone pointed out to me a few days ago that The Miz was not on the card, I didn't even notice, to be honest.
What about you, Teddy? What do you do with The Miz at SummerSlam?
And this is probably, you know, it doesn't make business sense, it doesn't make any logical sense, but we talked earlier about what do we do with SmackDown if Christian retains? Does Christian retain with the 8? And it's probably going to be because of Edge, but does Miz stick his nose somewhere in there? I mean, and does Randy hate The Miz at this point? You gotta have him interfere in something that means something. You gotta have him stick his nose in somebody's business where it means something to kind of give him relevance yet once again. And I can only think of it really being, I hate to say this, on the SmackDown brand, because they need a little bit more of a deeper roster right now, from a star power perspective. And I think he's your guy. I mean, so much charisma, so much, you know, he can kind of play both sides. But like I said, I mean, it doesn't make business sense because Raw's the hot ticket, but at the same time, if you want to put this guy back in the hunt, you know, I think you kind of have him stick his nose into that SmackDown main event, some way or the other.
SmackDown could use them right now.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Mace, what do you do with the awesome one?
What to do with The Miz? Put him in a tutu and have him table dance for Michael Cole. Seriously, I have no idea what I'd do with The Miz.
Does he call out some celebrity that's in the crowd?
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. Build it up for WrestleMania, maybe?
I don't think they have that long-range of a plan.
Do we really want to go to that route again? That sort of didn't work out well for Jericho.
I'm just saying.
Maybe call commentary during a match. I have no idea.
He claims to steal the show, and I guess we will find out on Sunday night what The Miz does and what everyone does at SummerSlam, because it's the biggest party of the summer. Aren't
That's
we
right.
all excited?
And CeeLo is singing the theme song.
Woo! Because, you know, he has the voice.
That's right.
God Almighty! That's gonna be a that's now okay. Well, as we wind down, CeeLo, do you start the show with him, or is he going to be in the middle of the show and like kill the crowd?
Or get it over with and get him in the beginning.
Open the show with him performing.
Yeah, just get it over with. Because here's what's gonna happen. Or you know what? You can have him singing while the Divas match is going on. That'd be a killing two birds with one stone.
Oh, we haven't seen that before.
You know. At least everyone would still be awake at the beginning of the show.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad they, you know, they can pull out the big stars and, you know, have them sing on their pay-per-views. They just, you know, kill the crowd.
I can't think of one. I mean, maybe you guys can. I can't think of one musical performance that's non Star Spangled Banner. It's you know, I can't think of one that I actually thought, hey, that was pretty cool. I mean, can you guys? I mean, I draw a blank.
Yeah.
Huh, that's... The Undertaker and Limp Bizkit wasn't bad at WrestleMania 19?
And there was Motorhead, and they performed Bow Down to the King, right?
Yeah. What's his face? Well, was so
there was also, gone. There was, no, that was when they did All About the Game, and Lemmy was absolutely smashed off his head.
Yeah, and he couldn't remember the lyrics.
Great bunch of mania moment there.
But I get, you know, I get that part. It's not for the wrestling fans. It's for, you know, to draw entertainment tonight. I mean, it's drawn a little bit more mainstream. I get it, but it just sucks.
It gets them what they want, publicity, but... Jersey Girl says Kid Rock was pretty good at WrestleMania.
25?
Was it 20? Yeah, I think it was 25.
Oh, I was there live.
No,
it was all right. Yeah, I mean, he's got that energy, man. But you know, he's got great energy. I'll give him that.
I think I remember reading somewhere recently where the people who performed Dolph Ziggler's music approached him recently, and he was like totally over them, and they suggested doing that. And he's like, oh, no, well, I'm a heel or I'm a bad guy. And we don't do that. I was like, wow.
The Miz did that, too. He blew them off, too. He already had his Mania entrance set for this past year.
Dolph Ziggler's song is horrible.
And they redid it, and it didn't help.
The Miz is kind of horrible, too, now that I think of it. I'll tell you one theme that I like that I don't know if you guys, you probably have never heard it because you probably never wrestle, is Vance Archer has a pretty decent theme coming in. It sounds like a train wreck, but a good train wreck.
I can't say that I've ever heard of Vance Archer's theme.
You know, honestly, I've only heard it because I have SmackDown vs. Raw 2011.
Yeah, I have that game, and I've never played with Vance Archer. I'm sorry. Lance Hoyt, great interview. Vance Archer, not so much.
he was my squash match for my story mode that I was creating with Wade Barrett. So.
I did hear about the Heath Slater and the security guard in Atlanta. We will discuss that most likely on Sunday, and Spug will have some interesting opinions on that. Most likely we'll talk about it then, because I'm not getting into it on the SummerSlam show. This is a positive show. We're not going to go into the negative.
Then why are we talking SummerSlam?
We could be talking about Hulk Hogan going to Dancing with the Stars. Or do you want to talk SummerSlam? It's out there. There's a rumor out there. I don't know why. He has no hips and no back, but, you know.
Who are we talking about again? I'm sorry.
Hulk Hogan.
Oh, jeez.
What's he going to do?
Why are we talking about Hulk Hogan?
He should
not even be alive. It's amazing that this guy's even able to walk.
Yeah, that's the point. I don't think Hogan would, you know, do Dancing with the Stars, but it's put out there. All right, real quick, we'll go around the horn. What is your favorite SummerSlam moment ever? Start with you, Teddy. Favorite SummerSlam moment ever.
I can't pinpoint it, to be honest with you.
Or something that you remember about SummerSlam. What's the one thing that, when you hear SummerSlam, what's the one thing that sticks out? That's a simpler question.
when Jackie played the theme song to the what generation SummerSlam was that you played that song? The SummerSlam theme song that
You
I should have used that on the clock.
You mean this one?
Oh
yes.
No. Oh yeah. See, I thought that was the Royal Rumble music.
I have it listed as WWE SummerSlam 1988, apparently. That's what my folder has it as. See, when I go back...
But that sounds like Royal Rumble 92.
I know. It sounds like the generic theme they used for a lot of the pay-per-views back then.
But you know what? They probably did. They probably did use it more than once. That's... Because I know I've seen that one of the 90s rumbles. I know I did. So I guess they just used it more than once.
All right, I got one.
Okay.
And it was just, actually, we just saw it the other day, my son and I, when Honky Tonk Man lost the belt to the Ultimate Warrior. Not for the match so much, but at the end of the match, when Honky Tonk Man's going back to the dressing area, and Sean Mooney's like, Honky Tonk, Honky Tonk, any comments? And Honky Tonk Man says, I got a show to do, where's Priscilla, where's Priscilla, where's the stage? And he's completely, he's acting like, I mean, Honky Tonk Man, one of my funniest actors in heel history, and I don't know, we saw that the other day, my son and I, and to this day I still remember when Honky Tonk Man came out, or when Ultimate Warrior came out, and I was on the edge of my seat as a youth, and I think that was probably one of my favorite moments of SummerSlam.
What about you, Jackie? What's the moment that sticks out to you when you think SummerSlam?
Honestly, it's the Liz Randy Savage wedding. When these two got married, quote unquote, got married, I was like 11. And I was just very taken by Elizabeth. You know, she was gorgeous and she had Randy Savage, which was great. I became addicted to her. That's how I got into wrestling. So SummerSlam, my head always goes back to the match made in heaven. I do believe also that it was the casket match between Yokozuna and The Undertaker. I don't remember what year. 93? Want to say? That led into the fake Undertaker angle the next year at 94, I want to say. I always catch hell for being a Kane fangirl, but overall, I'm a Brothers of Destruction mark. I'm very big on both of them. So that sticks out for me today, but honestly, when it's SummerSlam, it's always the wedding.
How about you, Mace? What's the one moment that sticks out to you when you think SummerSlam?
It's already been mentioned. Undertaker versus Undertaker, SummerSlam 94 with Leslie Nielsen doing an investigation. Funniest storyline I have ever seen.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. One stick for me, the Shawn Michaels return back in 02, that was one of the best matches I've ever seen between Hunter and Shawn. But I'm a Shawn Michaels mark, so...
Is that the one where Sean was in those brown tights and Hunter was ragging on him on the DVD?
No, that was Survivor Series.
Oh, okay.
This was his comeback match. He was in the street clothes, and stuff like that. No, it was not the horrible brown tights.
It looked like he spent the night at Mick Foley's house and had some Mankind extras, and he's like, hey, can I borrow these?
Yeah, it was not them, no. That was when he won the World Heavyweight Championship at Survivor Series 2002.
You mean nobody picked the Diva Dodgeball match from SummerSlam 2004?
Oh, God.
Oh, God almighty.
Oh.
Yeah,
I don't want to think about it.
Well, you bring up 2005, the overselling of Shawn Michaels against Hulk Hogan. Brother.
That was classic! Shawn Michaels, the rubber band man, bounces.
Wasn't it also Shawn Michaels versus Vader at SummerSlam? Late 90s, I want to say, 98, 99?
96.
96. Thank you.
Yes. That was the one where he was counted out disqualified and then Shawn Michaels won the match. Spug always goes back to that same event for The Undertaker and Mankind in the Boiler Room Brawl.
Boiler Room Brawl, I was connecting, I was going to say. Yeah, that was, oh, I remember that. I generally try to avoid anything pre-WWE Mick Foley just because I don't appreciate the real hardcore stuff. I don't particularly care to see that. Just the Boiler and Brawl itself, Gund Arena, I remember that. It was, oh, that was pretty rough. That was the closest thing to hardcore I had ever seen at that point. And for some reason, that match still scares the hell out of me. I don't know why.
See, I'm surprised no one has talked about the greatest main event ever at SummerSlam, Diesel versus King Mabel for the WWF title.
Oh, wow.
Back in 95. Greatest main event ever.
Oh, wow.
They actually main evented a pay-per-view with that.
Wow.
Hey, that had to be the best card ever. Just looking back on it now, you know, you got Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon in a ladder match. Bret Hart versus Isaac Yankum.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The Undertaker.
I should have known that one.
Karma.
Look at this. Barry Horowitz defeats Skip.
happened to Barry Horowitz? I miss Barry Horowitz.
Oh, Barry Horowitz, it was the best jobber ever.
Best women's title match ever. Birth of Faith versus Alondra Blaze.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And an appearance by Dean Douglas.
We mentioned Barry Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz patting himself on the back before DDP was?
Yeah, and here.
See?
Yeah, and,
see? Yes.
Oh my God, that was awesome. Barry Horowitz.
You know, guys, that might be the worst card as I'm looking. Oh my gosh.
Mind you, Hakushi versus 123 Kid would have been good. I was always a big fan of Hakushi back in the day.
Yeah, same here.
Whatever happened to that tattooed bastard? Anyone?
I have no idea what happened to Hakushi.
Apparently on April 15th, 2011, he returned to the United States to wrestle for Chikara in the King of Trios tournament, where he would represent Michinoku Pro. So there you go. He came back to the States in 2011. But
good to see he's still going.
Yeah, good to see him still going. You look at...
Oh, also, keeping up with my Brothers of Destruction markdown. Brothers of Destruction against Canyon and DDP.
Oh, on.
Combining the WWF and WCW World Tag Team Championship.
Yeah.
2001?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. I do, because it was the funniest thing ever, and I mentioned this to Teddy. They let Canyon get out of the cage. They let him go. And Canyon went, and he ran back to the backstage area, left DDP in there by himself. Taker told DDP, if you want to live, you better get out of this ring. DDP took it too, climbed halfway up the cage, only to have Taker grab him by the pants and throw him back into the ring. It was hilarious.
Now, I don't know why anyone didn't mention this one. The Rock versus Badass Billy Gunn in the Kiss My Ass match.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not everything for the Attitude Era worked.
SummerSlam 93, Undertaker versus Giant Gonzalez.
Oh, yeah. That was weird. Like, Taker, you guys remember, it was weird.
Do you guys remember when Giant Gonzalez, it was a WCW event. Gosh, who was it? And he came out. I think he came out to help Sting. Oh, who was he? Forget it, because I don't even know the story, so...
El Gante, El whatever the fuck they were calling him in WCW.
The Yeti! The Yeti!
El Gante, they called him in WCW. What the fuck? I don't
know. When he came out on that Thunder in Paradise.
Oh,
damn you, Sports Entertainment.
You go back, as we're going back, you go back through the first SummerSlam card. Yeah, the British Bulldogs versus the Fabulous Joes.
All American boys.
You had the Bad News Brown versus Ken Patera. Rick Rude and Junkyard Dog. The Powers of Pain versus the Bolsheviks, or I can't remember.
The Bolsheviks?
Yeah, the Bolsheviks.
Bolsheviks.
Yeah, them. The Warrior versus Honky Tonk Man. Dino Bravo versus Don Morocco. Demolition versus the Heart Foundation. Boss Man versus Coco Beware. Jake Roberts versus Hercules. And the Mega Powers against the Mega Bucks.
And didn't Rowdy Piper win his only title at SummerSlam?
Not at that one. I don't. What title? What year did he win the title?
It was 92. It was 90. It had to be 92 because in Royal Rumble, it was in Royal Rumble 92 where he won it against the Mountie, and then he participated in the Royal Rumble event, and they were making a big deal. He could walk out with both titles tonight, Monsoon. He sure could.
But mind you, you look at that card back in 1988 versus a card that we'll have on Sunday. There are four tag team matches on the card in 1988.
Good point.
There was tag team wrestling back then. Actual teams as well.
Yep.
It's really shameful how the tag team titles have been reverted to superstars. I mean, even the Divas title with Kelly Kelly as the champion is getting time on Raw. And the tag team titles are on superstars. That's absolutely shameful when you consider the history. They have ugly belts and they're on superstars.
And I don't know who decided those were good looking belts, by the way.
Those belts play giant things. I can't stand them.
You know, there was a moment in time where I thought, you know, they had the Slater and Gabriel tag combo for a while, and they had the Usos, and they had the New Heart Foundation. I thought, okay, well, they're doing something with the younger guys. Okay, maybe they're going to bring back the tag team wrestling in time, but no, they didn't.
No, yeah.
The only thing they've done to the tag division is give the Usos a new opening round. That's the most effort that's been put into the tag team division in some time.
Oh, man.
You just look at some of the SummerSlam cards and you go, there's some good matches on there. And then you look, there's some really bad matches on there as well. Like Nails versus Virgil, because that's the money match at 92. Nails versus Virgil.
That was the toilet break.
But that was only the second match in.
92 was England, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 92 was in England, so that would have been tea time for the British.
The British, the opening match, it went 3 minutes and 55 seconds.
It's enough time. Which
year was that?
92.
You know, I think, I don't know, I think we may have got this one when I was young, and I could have sworn, and I could be wrong, and I usually am, but they were talking about Virgil and how he has a chance if he can turn it into a slugfest, like a boxing match. You know, Virgil really has a chance in this one. You know, because Piper had just recently, you know, trained him on how to fight. And
Virgil's another one of those I often wonder what happened to him.
He sits
by himself in convention halls asking money for autographs.
Yeah. Oh, you beat me. You beat me to that one.
We all had the same joke. It's kind of sad. I'm just going through posters now. I see the WWE SummerSlam poster for 93. The tagline is, underneath the word SummerSlam says, Fat Chance, and then you have Yokozuna on the poster.
That's not politically correct.
Fat Chance.
Stop bullying, WWE.
Eliminate the hate.
Be a star.
They had some really cheesy taglines like Face the Heat opposites.
There you go,
attack.
Diesel.
Yeah, opposites attack and shit like that, you know.
Biggest party the summer is good. They should just left it there.
That's where they're going to keep it, because that's their tagline now. The biggest party of the summer.
And these posters look like they were made, like, on IBM, Lotus 123.
Some of them, yeah. But overall, SummerSlam is the pay-per-view that many people, you know, if you say, oh, you have WrestleMania, you have the Royal Rumble, then everyone says SummerSlam.
Hopefully, no, you're right. It used to be Survivor Series for me when they actually had the old Survivor Series format.
God, I missed that format. But, you know, that's for another episode down the line. Talk about Survivor Series. When we get there, because we've returned to Madison Square Garden. So overall, everyone's excited for SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I am completely excited for SummerSlam.
And I'm totally convinced by that.
I believe that he's going to show that same type of enthusiasm on Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday.
Totally.
No, I am. I'm just going to be a hater. I'm looking forward to Best Fiendish wiping the mat with Kelly Kelly. I'm genuinely hoping that this will put an end to the Christian and Randy Orton thing. Let's let him just put it to bed. That in itself would be wonderful.
What are you looking? Throw Cena Punk out the window. Everyone knows we want to see that. What's the other match you want to see on this card, Teddy?
Is it official? Wade Barrett and
yes.
Daniel Bryan.
That's
the match I want to see.
That's, as I've heard from the interwebs, that's official. But you know, Vince can wake up tomorrow morning and go, I don't want them on my pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's the match I want to see. Just from sitting there and just absorbing some decent wrestling in the ring, and I'm hoping they give him some time. You know, give him at least 20 minutes, at least. But then again, I'll deal with the 7 minutes they give him.
And just be thankful they got seven.
That's right.
Yeah, because we gotta get John Cena in there.
Yep.
Gotta give Cena his hour.
All right, guys. I'm gonna cut your meeting. I'm gonna cut your match down to 7 minutes because we gotta get CeeLo on stage, and it's gonna take about 12 minutes. So, wrap it up.
Yeah. What besides the main event? What are you looking forward to most?
The alcohol I'm gonna be drinking during.
Sweet, you're drinking during the show. Sweet.
I'm tempted. I broke open the homebrew bourbon last night, and it is still exceptionally good. I might even do it again tonight, and then the night after, and the night after, until it's all gone. Mind you, I've still got about a bowl and a quarter left.
We need to come up with a drinking game.
I'm trying to say now in SummerSlam, we need to fight him a drinking game.
Yeah, I know. We need to come up with a drinking game for you, Mace.
We've been there, done that. Didn't work.
But we'll make something up.
Every time there's a Zack Ryder sign, a Broski sign that shows up on television, he's got to take a shot.
No, it's even better. Every time Michael Cole says the word Jerry, you take a shot.
vintage somebody.
No, we've done the vintage game and it didn't work. We tried it for the Royal Rumble where we figured he would say vintage a lot, and he said it like once.
Every time Booker T says something that makes no sense, he has to take a shot. He will be plastered before the end of the first match.
You want to put me in my grave, don't you?
Yeah.
Jeez.
We'll make for a fun episode of Wrestle Talk Radio.
Doesn't mean I have to do it during a drinking game. I can just sit there and drink, and it'll make the matches more exciting.
Either way, we'll we'll tune in for that. Teddy and Jackie, they do the podcast for the history of WWE.com called Triple Talk Wrestling Radio. And you guys did what we did. You talked SummerSlam, right?
Exactly.
And it's now streaming on the history of WWE.com, correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
What is
your... Astros just put it up on Podomatic as well, so we can find, they can find us there.
And what is your Twitter handles, or, you know, get the social media plugs out of the way?
I am at Jackie Feist, Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T.
And I am at Twitter at Tornado Money.
And does Triple Talk have a Twitter?
Yes, we do, at TTWR1, and we also have a fan page up on Facebook.
So there you go. Like them. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wildtalkradio. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. And if you want to follow Mace on Twitter, it's the Mace thing. You know, you'll hear his nonsense as well. I'd like to thank everyone for joining us this evening. We've done a lot more than I thought we were going to do. I thought, okay, we didn't get any calls, but we kept the show going. Anyway, it was a lot of fun tonight.
It was. Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Thank you for having us. It was fun.
This was fun. We'll have to do this again sometime. Just, you know, we're in a forest and no one hears us, but that's okay. We'll do it again.
You might not hear the tree falling, but you'll hear us revving up the chainsaws.
Yep.
Oh, God, I hate them. Anyway, with that being said. I will catch you tomorrow night for CB Radio Live here, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Catch them on the history of WWE.com. Catch Mace Sunday night at Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern. Until then, for Teddy, Jackie, Mace, I'm Sirach, and we'll see you, I guess, tomorrow, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Good night, everyone.